Good morning. I'd like to call to order the February 4th meeting of the TPA's Bicycle Trailways Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Pursuant to the TPA Emergency Order 2021-01, the Palm Beach TPA is conducting this meeting virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. The TPA selected this platform because it does not require the public to purchase or download any additional software equipment to attend this meeting. Aside from the Zoom webinar platform that the participants will use to attend remotely, the public will have no discernible difference in their ability to watch the meeting from that of someone physically attending the meeting. Instruction to join this virtual meeting, as well as contact information for TPA staff member to assist you, are provided in the published meeting agenda. Please note that although some members of the BTPAC are attending the meeting in person, like myself, committee members will be appearing at today's meeting remotely, either webcam or telephone. Additionally, scheduled presenters and the BTPAC liaison will be appearing via webcam or telephone. Before we begin, I will summarize our public comment procedures for this virtual meeting. Written comments may be submitted online at the website provided in the agenda. Verbal comments may be made by a virtual attendee using the raise hand feature in the Zoom platform. Lastly, a verbal and/or written comment may be provided by an in-person attendee submitting a comment card available at the welcome table. Staff, please call roll call.
Before I call the roll, I want to remind members present in person to unmute your microphones and just bring it closer, and there's a button on the base. And then members present virtually, please remember to unmute yourselves. And if you're here on behalf of a representative, please state your name as the alternate. Sally Channon.
Here.
Eric Ferguson is excused. Ted Goodenough.
Here.
Michael Howe.
Here.
Jean Matthews.
Here.
Yash Nagal.
Here.
Adi Nassar.
Here.
Michael Owens.
Here.
Craig Pinder.
Here. I'm the alternate.
Kathleen Hatcher.
Yes.
Olga Perto is absent. John Roach. John, I didn't get that on the audio. John?
Hello?
Yes, now I can hear you. Thank you.
Sorry, I lost audio for a second.
It's okay. Brian Ruscher?
Here.
Joanne Scario?
Here.
Stephanie Thoburn?
Here.
The Boca Raton Bicycle Club is vacant at the moment. Larry Wallace?
Here.
We have a quorum, Madam Vice Chair.
Staff, are there any modifications to the agenda?
No, Madam Vice Chair.
Thanks. Are there any changes to, the next item is the motion to approve the minutes for December 3rd, 2020 meeting. Are there any changes to the minutes?
I don't see any hands raised, Madam Chair, Vice Chair.
If not, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
This is Brian, motion to adopt as presented.
Michael Howe, second.
I hear a motion by Brian Ruscher and seconded by
Michael Howe.
Michael Howe, sorry, I can't see anybody. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Motion passes. So the next item, and general comments, general public comments or public comments on our agenda items. Any members of the public would like to provide any comments?
No, Madam Chair, I don't have any virtual comments or cards.
Okay, If none, let's keep things moving. Comments for me or any members of the Sally. Sally, I see that you have comments.
I hope that in March we'll be formally introducing a new alternate for me. She has been nominated by Environmental Resources Management. That's JC Beery. She is a very avid cyclist, both on and off road, and her nomination is going before the TPA governing board at their February meeting. So hopefully she'll be here in March as an official alternate.
Great. Good. Good to hear. Anybody else have any comments?
I don't see any hands raised.
Okay, so the BTPAC liaison report.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Before I actually go over the report, I do want to read something. At the January 21st meeting, the TPA board suspended the requirement for in-person quorum for TPA committees. Committees are now able to hold quorum with members participating virtually. Now, on to the liaison report. TPA committee census update. The TPA has received 17 out of 26 responses to its committee member census, which collects the BTPAC members' race, sex, and age. This data will assist the TPA in tracking committee diversity in accordance with state statute. An analysis of the results will be shared with members following completion of the survey. To take the survey, please visit palmbeachtpa.org/TPA committee census. The February TPA Governing Board meeting is going to be held on February 18th at 9 a.m., both in person and virtually. To review the agenda packet and meeting details, please visit palmbeachtpa.org/board. The TPA is going to be hosting a transportation disadvantaged public workshop on February 24th, 2021 at 1:30 p.m. at the TPA office to provide information about the TD program and services in Palm Beach County and collect input. For more information, visit our website, palmbeachtpa.org/meeting. TPA funding programs. Applications for the local initiatives and transportation alternative programs are due February 26th, 2021. Pre-application meetings with FDOT and the TPA staff were required. For more information, visit our website, palmbeachtpa.org/funding. The AARP Community Challenge Grant is about to open for 2021. This grant provides small grants to fund quick action projects that can help communities become more livable for people of all ages. The deadline to apply for this is in March of 2021. They have not actually opened their application yet. Their website says February 2021, so let's keep an eye out on that. More information on that grant opportunity is available on aarp.org/community challenge. The high visibility enforcement funding is still available. This is funding that is offered by FDOT to local enforcement agencies. They are funding contracts for high visibility enforcement to improve the safety of pedestrians and bicyclists. Applications are accepted on a rolling basis and available at alerttodayflorida.com/HVE. And then lastly, Florida Bicycle Month is in March. To celebrate, the TPA is hosting a bike ride on Friday, March 26th. The TPA is encouraging local governments and partner agencies to participate and host events to promote bicycling and bicycling safety. More information is available on walkbikepalmbeach.org, and I actually will be presenting on that later today. So that is it for the liaison report.
Sorry. Are there any public comments on the liaison report?
No, Madam Chair.
Do we have any comments from the committee?
I do not see any hands raised.
I have a comment. Can we get a copy of that emailed to us so we can forward things on?
Yeah, of course. I'll send that after the meeting today.
Okay. And then I know Jupiter typically does a proclamation for Bicycle Month for the month of March. I just would encourage everyone else to look and see what they are. It's pretty simple. I mean, I had our town clerk do it, and we just have to organize the date. And it's just nice to tell people that we're actually in support and what things we're doing. So it's nice to encourage folks to do that. Okay, so now if we move on to action items 2A, we have Jason Price, the TPA TIP coordinator, who's going to present the next item, which is amendment number 3 to fiscal year 2021 to 2025, the Transportation Improvement Program.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So as mentioned, my name is Jason Price. I'm the TIP coordinator for the Palm Beach TPA, and today I'm going to present to you amendment number 3 to the Transportation Improvement Program. And amendment number 3 is a request by FDOT to modify two projects and to add two projects to the Transportation Improvement Program. And just as a reminder, this is an action item that will require a vote at the end of the presentation and discussion. Let's see. So just to start off, I just want to review what triggers a TIP amendment and why is it needed. And so today, to go over the actions that trigger a TIP amendment is to add or delete a project to the Transportation Improvement Program, or the cost of a project increases more than 20% and 2 million or above, as well as changes to the scope of work, which includes the length of change by a half mile and 20% of the project, or 20% of the length, and also the number of traffic through lanes. So if any of these conditions are met, then a TIP amendment is required and brought to our boards for approval. So now I'll go over the two existing projects, followed by the two new projects that'll be added. And the first one is the City of Boynton Beach various locations. For this particular one, there was an increase in the project length to include a local roadway that was missing from the project description. And so you can see by the highlighted text in the proposed changes, the length has increased in order to incorporate the missing roadway that wasn't part of the length, and that's what triggered the amendment. And there's also some minor financial information that was increased to accommodate that change as well. The next project is also an existing project, and this is at Bridgman Drive, Wellington Road, and Prairie Road at various locations. And the nature of this change is the wrong terminus was indicated on the project description or title, and it had to be changed from Prairie Road to Longwood Road, which is correcting the project termini of the project, which has triggered an amendment. The next two projects are new projects that we have that'll be included in the Transportation Improvement Program for the first time as part of this amendment. And the first one is Boca Raton Passenger Rail Station for Brightline. Now for this particular project, this will add a new Brightline passenger rail station along with a new parking garage prior to the new parking garage for the station, as well as the adjacent city library. There'll be a temporary garage and temporary parking facility until the garage is built. And as well as part of this project, there is some local roadway improvements and construction of a relocated community garden. So all of those parts are part of the project. And just to review some of the financial parts of this project, Boca Raton received a CRISI grant in the amount of $16.3 million, as well as private funds from Brightline were contributed in the amount of $19.6 million. And then the City of Boca Raton contributed ad valorem funds in the amount of $10 million. So all of those funds taken together is the total amount for the project and all of the other components of the project, including the parking garage and the community garden. This next project is also a new project, and this is at Banyan Boulevard Railroad Crossing. This project basically is a new project to install signal safety upgrades. And these signal safety upgrades at the grade crossing include new hardware installation and a fully furnished cantilever, which I believe is the arm that goes up and down. And the rationale for this project was that when they did a diagnostic analysis of this particular area, they realized that it was brought to their attention that the red light traps motorists in the crossing. And so these safety improvements will eliminate or at least mitigate that activity happening, making it safer than it is today. And with that, that concludes my presentation for this amendment. And if there's any questions, I'm available to answer them.
Okay, there we go. Are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair, but I do have that. I have actually three hands raised. I have John Roach, followed by Gene Matthews, and then Ted Goodenough.
Great.
Good morning. First, can you clarify with the Banyan Boulevard crossing, which railroad is it that you're focusing on? Banyan has two crossings, one being the FEC, the other being Tri-Rail.
I think it's the FEC corridor. Yes, it is the FEC corridor.
Okay. And then just another clarification, like we did with the last amendment, obviously, you know, the city's position with regards to the TIP. So my motion or my vote to support the amendments is focused on the amendments solely, and is not an a support of the entire TIP, including the State Road 7 project. So just for clarification again. Thank you.
Understood.
I have Jean next.
Looking for a clarification. The library, the Brightline station by the Boca Raton Library would be the East Library across from Meisner, right by the FEC tracks, Northwest 4th, I think. And then the other thing is, I just wondered, I thought Brightline was all privately funded. And this is a lot of city, state, county, federal money in it.
Yes, you are correct. There is a mix of funds that are being contributed by both the city, and there's a Chrissy grant involved. And Brightline is contributing a significant amount as well. So it is a mix of funds to accomplish the project, as well as the parking garage, the community garden, all of the area improvements around. There's some roadway improvements around the tracks as well, and the new station. So each person is playing a part in contributing towards it.
Thank you.
And then I have Ted.
This is Ted Goodenough. And my question is, Brightline is supposed to be high speed, and adding another station, isn't that going to defeat the purpose of high speed?
Well, my focus today is particularly on the construction of the station. How they use the station in terms of their operation is yet to be seen exactly. I understand the point, though, in terms of more stops means more headway times, you know, and not as efficient with less stops. But how they use the stop, if it's going to be a stop that will be incorporated into the service all the time, or if it'll be a stop that they'll stop at not as frequently. I'm not exactly sure how they'll incorporate the station in the long-term plan of operating Brightline and all of the stations that they have. So I think in future presentations, when this comes closer to being built, we'll learn more about how Brightline will operate along this corridor and utilize this stop. If it'll be a, it'll be a permanent stop, but how they use it in terms of the operation is not something I have information on, but it is a good point of, it will reduce the, you know, the efficiency of getting from one place to the other with additional stops. So I don't really have an answer exactly on how that's going to happen, but I understand, I recognize that as well, that it will reduce the travel time of getting from A to B by incorporating more stops. And so that's something I'd have to follow up with Brightline in terms of how they intend to utilize the stop and the overall service.
Yeah, I think that going from 80 to zero, loading and unloading travelers, and then going from zero to 80, it will add significant time and really change the whole, I can't think of the word, dynamic of high speed. But I thank you for your answer.
Yeah, the proximity of the stops does kind of indicate that will they be able to reach those top speeds with the stops being as close as they are? And so that is something to consider. And yeah, you're on the right track.
Thank you.
Sure. I have Brian followed by John.
Great.
Hi, Brian.
You'll need to unmute, Brian.
Can't hear you.
Trying to. Thank you. Yeah, the little pop-up blocked me from it. Thoughty had his hand raised too. Just wanted to point that out. And I think it's important to recognize that it's not uncommon for multiple trains to run on different services and different routes. I'm no transit expert, but you could have an express line that runs, you know, along the main cities and then a more local service operated along the same tracks. I do recall, just I believe it was Dean's point at Brightline did indicate that they were private, entirely privately funded, but with a federal grant coming in for this, you know, station and the Boca Raton signal, city of Boca Raton signaling that they're willing and able to accept and support this particular amendment to the TIP. I'd be hard pressed to vote no on amending the TIP for any of these things. And I commend the work of West Palm, Boca Raton, Wellington, and Boynton on getting these projects up to date and accurate. And whenever the rest of the committee is ready, I'll be ready to make a motion.
So then I have John followed by Fadi.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on Ted's comments. There was actually a presentation at the Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council this past month by Tri-Rail as well as Brightline that dealt with a lot of those questions that Ted was asking. So I don't know if that can be replayed online, you know, to get the answers to those. Ted, you know, I can look and see if that recording is available. If not, I think it would be beneficial to have those representatives present to us as well and give their, you know, give the update to this committee, because it answered a lot of those questions that Ted was asking of, you know, with all these additional stations, both in Boca as well as, you know, they're looking in the Treasure Coast and so forth of, you know, how the vision of Brightline is changing.
I think it'd be great to hear from them.
Fadi?
Yeah, I have a question. I know Brightline stations in Miami, Broward, probably even Palm Beach, they have significant real estate components. Is what they're paying, those $20 million in Boca, does it include any kind of real estate development, apartment, something they can benefit from?
What was the last part of the question?
I mean, what they're paying, is it just for the station and the roadway improvement, or it also has some kind of real estate component? It could be, I don't know, homes, apartment, retail, something that they can directly benefit from.
Oh, like any kind of commercial development as part of the project. Is that what you're asking?
To give you an idea, in Miami, they have two high-rise buildings that's part of that project.
Right. Yeah, that would be a good question for Brightline, but none of the funds currently programmed are for development of the site for property in terms of building, commercial development, mixed-use development, housing. None of these funds are for that purpose. That doesn't mean it's outside the envelope of what is being constructed. They may own land outside that, and that would be a good question for Brightline because that is part of their, as I learned through tours through State Safe Street Summit, they do buy land adjacent to their stations and construct buildings and sell them or rent them out as part of their financial plan. And that could be possible here, but in terms of what is being presented, the funds are for the construction of the station and the surrounding components that serve the station, not the development of commercial properties outside of the station for the purpose.
Yeah, I mean, that's good to know. My other comment is that, my dissertation was about operation of high-speed rail, and Ted's comment is spot on. I know some stations, they can maybe alternate, not stop at every time. But clearly, when you have too many stations, you cannot have high-speed rail. It's just, I think in South Florida, I don't think it is a high-speed rail. But let's see how it's going to operate. And I would also request, like the rest, that they make a presentation addressing these points. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any more comments?
I don't see any other hands raised. Oh, just kidding. Brian has his hand raised.
You're welcome by the chair. I'd like to make a motion.
Could I just have one question? I'm sorry, Brian.
Sure.
I just am curious how, when I see amendments, I think of changes, not necessarily a big $45, $46 million project that gets added to an amendment that a plan that was adopted in the summer of last year. I'm just curious how that came about, and if it had something to do with fiscal years and the funding sources, or why wasn't it planned or anticipated as part of the summer adoption. I don't have any problems with what's proposed. I just am curious how something like that occurs.
Yes, that is indeed a good question. I'm looking to my counterparts to possibly provide an answer.
Good morning. Andrew Euler, Deputy Director of Program Development. We sort of have a short answer for you there. So this was, the main part of this amendment is really that CRISI grant, the Consolidated Rail Infrastructure Safety Grant. And so when they went after that, that's when it actually federalized the project. So before it was really just, it's BOCA money and Brightline money. So when they were able to get that grant, that's really when it federalized, and it's why it's coming before you today as an amendment. I don't know the turnaround time between when they applied for that and when it was awarded, as in if it was just a short turnaround time and it gets funded now. That's what it seemed to be. It seemed to be a short turnaround time, so that's why you're seeing it as an amendment rather than it being applied for, awarded, and in a future year. Sort of, it's all happening in this fiscal year, so that's why it's amendment today.
I see. Yeah, it would have been good to have that reason, that impetus in here, so we just kind of understood it, because I understood that it's a pretty big project. So thank you. So Brian.
I have, just to note, I have Brian followed by Joanne.
Oh, okay.
So just, it jogged my memory that I believe that we had a Brightline representative come and talk on December 3rd to the group, which provided an update on some of the station information. And those slides and the audio backup are still available with the contact information for, I think it was Jessica Jocelyn presenting on behalf of Brightline. That might be a helpful piece of information. And I don't know if it's still appropriate, but I would like to make a motion. But if Joanne wants to speak, I'd be happy to yield the floor to her.
Thank you, Brian. I have no real comments on the amendment itself. Thank you for the good presentation. I would just like to ask in the future if you could also include some visual graphics, maybe like an aerial photograph showing the project and the change, that would be appreciated if possible in the future.
Okay.
It was a statement. And then I do have, I'm sorry to interrupt, Brian. I do have Ted raise his hand again.
Yeah, if you do put in graphics, please make sure that the presenter describes them, because we have people on the phone. We might have a blind person somewhere. So you can't just stick them in there and say, oh, and this is a graphic of the aerial. So just a comment.
So are we ready to make a motion?
Sorry, I turned my mic off. I see no other hands raised. So Brian, you're up.
Motion to adopt amendment number 3 to the TIP as presented by staff.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Who made the second?
So I have a motion by Brian and a second by Joanne.
Yes.
Okay. Hearing no further discussion, I have a motion by Brian, seconded by Joanne. Can we go to roll call, please?
Yes, and I want to remind everybody that if you can unmute your microphone and bring it close enough in person, and then those that are virtual to also unmute your microphone. So Sally Channon?
Aye.
Eric Ferguson is absent. Ted Goodenough?
Aye.
Michael Howe?
Aye.
Jean Matthews?
Aye.
Yash Nagal?
Aye.
Fadi Nassar?
Aye.
Michael Owens?
Aye.
Kathleen Hatcher?
Aye.
Olga Pertho is absent. John Roach?
Yeah.
Brian Ruscher?
Yes.
Joanne Scaria?
Aye.
Stephanie Thoburn?
Aye.
It passes unanimously, Madam Chair.
Okay, so the next item we have is item 2B. Right, is that right? 2B, and it is regarding the Federal Highway Administration performance measure implementation requirements. And we have Andrew Euler, the TPA Deputy Director of Program Development, to present.
Good morning again, everyone. So I'll be going through the federal required safety performance measures targets that we are required to set annually. So just a warning here, we do have a lot of data in the backup and then in this presentation. I'll go slowly through it and talk through it all for you all. So hopefully you can just follow along. In the backup, there was a summary of crashes for 2013 to 2020. There's the map of pedestrian bicycle fatalities, a Palmtran memorandum that talks about their safety targets, which are new this year for you all to review. And then also a draft resolution in the backup that summarizes the targets that we have up for adoption. To restate our vision here at the TPA, a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system, with safe being one of the main goals here at the TPA. So the required safety measures that we need to set targets for federally are the number of fatalities, the rate of fatalities per 100 million vehicle miles traveled, number of serious injuries, the rate of serious injuries, and then the total number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. So those are those pedestrian and bicycle related fatalities and serious injuries. The new measures for you all that you have not seen yet are ones from Palmtran. So they are federally required to also set safety targets by mode. And those are the number of fatalities, the rate of fatalities per 100,000 vehicle revenue miles. And vehicle revenue miles are when the transit system is in service. So it's not that dead time going out to the transit route. It's when they are picking up passengers. The number of injuries, the rate of those injuries, number of safety events, the rate of the safety events. And then lastly, the vehicle revenue miles, average distance between mechanical failures. So they need to set these seven measures for both the fixed route bus system and also the paratransit system, which is their door-to-door service. So that's 14 measures in total that Palmtran is required to set targets for. This little history about what we passed in, previously, the TPA adopted targets of zero fatalities and serious injuries in 2018, 2019, and 2020. FHWA has zero fatalities on our nation's roadways as the only acceptable goal. And so they have a Vision Zero focus as well. FDOT has formally adopted targets of Vision Zero in the past as well, 2018, 2019, 2020. And then just talked to them recently, and they're also setting it for 2021. And then there's many cities and a county in Florida that are part of the Vision Zero network, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Tampa, and Hillsborough County. And then we also have some cities here in our county and then throughout Florida, which are starting to adopt Vision Zero action plans. So what we show now is the on the screen is the total fatalities and serious injuries, and it's a pretty large table. This is the same table that was provided in the backup. I'm just going to touch on some main points on it. I know it's a lot of data on the screen, but what you see is 2013 to 2020 fatalities and serious injuries, and so you're looking at both the annual numbers and also the averages over five-year average. And the reason why we would show a five-year average as well is so you can see the trends a little better, because crashes sort of change over time. They jump up and down. And so when you look at the long-term trends is really a good way to focus attention. And the two I wanted to focus more on are going to be the past 2 years, and that's going to be 2019 and 2020. So the 2019 numbers are provided from the Florida Department of Transportation State Safety Office. And those are the official numbers that get released to us to show our performance measures. And so that's why I'm going to focus a little bit of attention on 2019. And then 2020 numbers that were provided are all preliminary numbers. Those are still being entered. I pulled those from University of Florida Signal 4 Analytics, which is a database that collects the crash data for the state. And so those are all preliminary numbers that will probably jump up a little bit when all is said and done in a few months, when all that data is entered and verified. So a few highlights for you about the trends for 2019 and then a little bit about 2020. 2019 has really been also trending upward on average for fatalities, fatality rate, serious injury rate, and pedestrian bicycle fatalities and serious injuries. It's still on an upward climb. And you can kind of see the same things happening in 2020. Our preliminary number for 2020 for fatalities totals 178 versus 174 in 2019. So that's already higher than 2019. And you all know about 2020, you know, with the coronavirus and the pandemic and less people on the roadway, we still had high levels of fatalities. And I'll talk a little bit more about reasons behind that in a bit. But really not trending in the right direction for many of our measures here. Pedestrian bicycle fatalities also on a climb in 2020. We have 212 so far compared to 208 in the previous year and 206 in 2018. So that's also been climbing. And the last thing I want to point out is we talk about total numbers but also the fatality rates and the serious injury rates. Right now I have a placeholder for 2020 when it comes to the 100 million vehicle miles traveled, since that number hasn't been released yet. But that number is expected to go down from the placeholder I have from 2019. So right now I have 100 million vehicle miles traveled, and that's placed for 2020 as well. That will come down, and it's going to push our fatality and serious injury rate up even more than what I provided in the backup and then on the screen. I know it's a lot of information to take in, so I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. The next table is the Palmtran fatalities, injuries, and then failures for mechanical failures. And so the table is showing 2016 to 2020 numbers and then 2021 targets. And so in the past few years, PalmTran has zero fatalities on their fixed route system. No fatalities from 2017 all the way to 2020. They had one in 2016. And then they're setting a target for 2021 at zero as well. And obviously that goes the same for the fatalities rate. For injuries, they did see a decrease in injuries in 2020 compared to the previous few years. They're at 40 injuries this past year. They set a target in 2021 at 63 injuries. So if you sort of look at their long-term average, it is higher than what they had last year at 40. But it does look like it is trending downward, which is good. Safety events also trending downward in 2020, which is good to see. Their average over time has been a little higher, and they set a target in 2021 as 43. And then lastly, average distance between mechanical failures. They actually went down this past year from 2019 to 2020, which is they want to actually increase the distance between mechanical failures. So in 2020, they had 13,083 miles, and then they have a target in 2021 of 14,000. So this shows the fixed route transit system, and then they're also required to pass targets for paratransit. And so now I'm showing the table, same table set up, but for paratransit targets. Again, fatalities has been mainly zero in the previous years. We had one fatality in 2016 and one in 2018.
Thank you.
They're setting a target for 2021 of zero. You can also see the injuries going down in 2020, a target of 34 in 2021. And then safety events went down in 2020. They had 26, and they set a target in 2021. It's 43. And then the distance between mechanical failures in 2020 went up to 6,971 miles, which is good. And they set a higher target for 2021 at 7,700 miles. So those were all the large data tables. Hopefully you guys were able to look at them in the backup as well. So here are a few charts. The first one being a bar graph that's showing that same data for fatalities in the five-year average from 2013 to 2020. And the main takeaway here is really there is an increase over time. The trend is going upwards for total fatalities. The next one is a serious injuries by year in that five-year average. Again, sort of been trending upward over the past few years. It looks like preliminary numbers for 2019 and 2020 suggest a decrease in serious injuries. Hopefully when those final 2020 numbers come out, right now it's at 917, hopefully it also stays low and we're starting to see a decline in that trend. But over the past years from 2013 all the way up to 2020, overall it has been trending upward. And the last graph I have for you all is pedestrian and bicycle fatalities and serious injuries by year and the five-year average, which you guys are maybe more focused on, also increasing on average over time from 2013 to 2020. So the trend's still heading upwards. And lastly, just wanted to comment a little bit more on 2020 numbers and not really seeing the types of reductions you would expect with fatalities, serious injuries, and other crashes because of the reduction in vehicle miles traveled on the roadway. So what's really happening there? So nationwide, there has been a little bit of a reduction in total fatalities, but we haven't seen that much here in our county and also in Florida. So some of the reasons why we might still see some high levels for fatalities and serious injuries throughout the nation, I pulled some information from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And one of the summaries they had a few reasons why this may be the case. The first being that there is a reduction in congestion. So there's less cars on the roadway, which can result in higher speeds of travel on the roadway, which could increase the severity of crashes. The next one is drivers on the roadway who are out there during this past year may be more or less risk adverse. So taking riskier decisions. There's also some preliminary evidence that there has been a decrease in seatbelt use among those who were involved in crashes this past year. And then also there was an increase in alcohol and drug use related to those crashes as well. That sort of had an uptick as well this past year. And maybe due to economic conditions and the pandemic. And the last one is more anecdotal from our staff here. This is an increase in pedestrian bicycle activity. We don't monitor a lot like for the county on pedestrian bicycle activity yet. Still trying to provide that. It's hard to get those kind of counts, but just anecdotally, when you look at, you know, sales of bicycles and just going out and people getting out of the house during the pandemic to go out and do more activities, it seems to be more activity out there for pedestrian bicycles. The last thing I wanted to note is, this is sort of just preliminary things I wanted to pull for you all. We do have a strategic plan action to analyze the impacts of COVID-19. And so in that report later on this year, we'll try to provide how it's impacted vehicle travel, mode choice in transit trips, and then also the impacts on safety. So I have three last slides for you. These are the recommended targets for 2021. The first one's being continuing on with Vision Zero Action Plan. The Vision Zero goal of zero fatalities and serious injuries. And so you see on the screen is number of fatalities, that rate, serious injuries, the rate, and the non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. And you'll see the 2019, the 2020, and then the targets for 2021 of zero again. So although we are still seeing increases, we are recommending to still continue forward with a target of zero fatalities and serious injuries. The next targets to set are the PalmTran fixed route bus service targets. Fatalities, fatality rate, injuries, injury rate, safety events, the rate, and then distance between mechanical failures. The rate of fatalities being a target of zero. Number of injuries at 63 for 2021, safety events 43, and then distance between mechanical failures 14,000 miles. And then the paratransit service, that PalmTran connection, goal of 2021, number of fatalities is zero, number of injuries 34, number of safety events 32, and then distance between mechanical failures 7,700 miles. And that's all I have for you. So the motion today is an action for those last three slides, those targets. And those were also summarized in the resolution and the backup. Thank you.
Margie, are there any public comments on this?
No, Madam Vice Chair. I do have John with his hand raised.
Okay.
Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. Just one thing, and I knew you did a slide about it, about the COVID-19 and the impacts and stuff like that. You know, it'll be interesting as studies are published and so forth of how do they notate this in, you know, their bar charts or their graphs or tables that have that data. Because, you know, if you had not included that slide, you know, there wasn't any reference to the pandemic or anything like that and the impact that it had on transit, especially when you start talking about the PalmTran stuff. So I don't know if, as we get to publish this information and the graphs and so forth, rather we want to note that in the year of 2020 so that it's clearly that, you know, these numbers are somewhat of an anomaly because of the, you know, the impacts that the pandemic had on, you know, number of miles traveled by people, number of transit users and so forth. So just something to consider.
It's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Any more comments?
I have Brian Ruscha with his hand raised.
Hey, thank you for the presentation, Andrew. Just, I have a quick question in relationship to the transit, if you could either pull those up or just really quickly answer, or maybe even Yash if he's on the meeting today. First of all, I wanted to commend PalmTran. I think there's very few transportation service providers for having zero fatalities as part of a service provider in the region for a long running stint. Is the reason the 2021 target is higher for number of injuries is because we anticipate a more regular return to service in 2021? Or is it simply what we anticipate regardless of COVID?
Hey, Brian, this is Yash. Thank you for your comments. Great question. The answer to that is yes, because 2020 was such an anomaly of a year. The data from that, we really couldn't take it into our analysis. We had to look at the years prior to that and use that as historic information to come up with this metric.
Thank you.
Yep.
I don't see any other hands raised, Madam Chair. Vice Chair.
Do we have a motion to recommend adoption?
You know, I'm raising my hand.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Fadi. Are you able to use the raise hand feature? Because
I don't have the feature on my screen. I looked all over the place. I don't have it.
Okay, my apologies. I will try and manage that a little bit better.
You know, I want to add to what Brian mentioned. I really commend PalmTran for having such a wonderful safety measure. And I think what Andrew mentioned is basically correct. It's our same observation we had, you know, with less congestion, you have higher speed that causes higher fatalities and injuries. But we also, you know, there's also additional people on bike and pedestrian, and we still know a lot of serious crashes happen at intersections. And I'm kind of, you know, it's nice to put those wonderful goals, but I think we can also maybe look at investing in technology that can help a lot at intersection where, you know, to improve the safety of both pedestrian and bicycle. I know many manufacturers are doing their part, but I think the county and TPA can also do their part by having a system that can help minimize these kind of crashes at intersections. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Do we have more discussion, or are we ready for a motion?
I don't see any other hands raised.
Okay. Hearing no discussion, do we have a motion for approval of staff recommendation?
So moved.
Michael
Owens.
Thank you.
Seconded by Jean Matthews.
So I have a motion on the floor to recommendation for approval by Michael Owens and seconded by Jean Matthews. Gonna do roll call.
Yes. So the motion on the floor is to recommend adoption of the 2021 safety targets as presented. Just a reminder to unmute your microphones. Sally Channon.
Aye.
Eric Ferguson is absent. Ted Goodenough.
Aye.
Michael Howe.
Aye.
Jean Matthews.
Aye.
Yash Nagal.
Yes.
Fadi Nassar.
Aye.
Michael Owens.
Aye.
Kathleen Hatcher.
Aye.
Olga Pareto is absent. John Roach.
Aye.
Brian Ruscher.
Aye.
Joanne Scaria.
Aye.
Stephanie Thoburn.
Aye.
It passes unanimously, Madam Vice Chair.
Okay, so now we have the next item, which is the BTPAC ad hoc committee's proposed modifications to the transportation alternatives program scoring system. Alyssa is going to present this item and followed by Sally.
Hi again, everyone. So we will be diving into the BT PAC ad hoc committee overview and the proposed scoring that they came up with. Okay. So to start off, the BT PAC created a 5-member ad hoc committee on September 12th, 2019 to assess Greenway scoring and provide recommendations to the BT PAC. This committee was made up of Jean Matthews, Sally Shannon, Michael Howe, David Willock, and Brian Ruscher. So the timeline of these meetings, the committee was created back in September of 2019. We had our first meeting on August 6th of 2020. At this meeting, we researched, or it was brought up to research how peer MPOs score TA projects and to look into the definition of Greenway facilities. At the September 23rd meeting, we discussed researching Florida regional trail programs, projects, and funding opportunities. At the December 8th, 2020 meeting, we determined ad hoc committee's proposed changes to the TA scoring. And that brings us here to today, where we are presenting these proposed changes and hopefully going to come up with how we're moving forward. And so I would like to allow Sally Shannon to go through and talk about the proposed changes that the ad hoc committee is bringing forward.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, including my fellow half-frozen members and those who are better adapted to this weather. I want to give a little bit of background on this and on the committee. I think that to some extent, my department, Environmental Resources Management, Palm Beach County's department, is responsible for a lot of the looking at this and the establishment of the ad hoc committee. Okay, it's spotting. I don't know. No. The county, the Board of County Commissioners in 2003 undertook a big planning effort because the county, the Palm Beach County, had approved in two separate bond issues $250 million worth of tax dollars to spend in the acquisition of environmentally sensitive lands. The footprint for that acquisition was heavily weighted towards the north end of the county, north of Southern Boulevard, because that's where the majority of the undeveloped land was. So the county has in fact acquired about 31,000 acres of property. Most of that, all but about 1,000 of those acres, are north of Southern Boulevard. So this planning project was like, hey, we've spent all this money, we've got all this land, we have an opportunity here to create a tourism draw and a huge asset for the residents of Palm Beach County by looking at our lands plus 60,000 acres that are South Florida Water Management Florida Game and Fish, and 30,000 that's South Florida Water Management District, and some of the lands in going up into Martin County, altogether over 165,000 acres, which is larger than a number of the national parks, and actually certainly includes a good deal more walkable, usable, drier land than in a number of the national parks in Florida. So the idea was to create a tourism draw other than beaches and golf, because we've got the weather. And we very definitely have the weather, the winter weather, to pull people in, to do, to plan trips and stuff that are bicycle oriented. So the county authorized Environmental Resources Management, although the plan for doing this involved a number of ecologically oriented centers and advertising and all that sort of stuff. Environmental Resources Management was tasked with being the entity within the county to coordinate with Parks and Recreation, with the MPO at the time, now TPA, with engineering in putting forward this plan. And basically the big network was an off-road bike ped system of connected trails that offered with the concept being that all the way on the East Coast was the East Coast Greenway, which is a national project. And it portions of the Riverwalk in Jupiter are part of that that trail. And I know that some of the communities in Boynton and Del Rey have looked to be part of that East Coast Greenway. Then there are a few places, Jupiter, Palm Beach Gardens, most notably the Mirasol Trail west of the Turnpike, Lake Park and Southern Boulevard that were looked at as ways to pull population with the idea, okay, you come down, you're attracted to the area, you're staying in a hotel or whatever accommodation along the coast, you go westward to get out to these natural areas and plan your backpacking or whatever sort of trip. So the county put forth a bunch of projects. They were primarily using the C-18 right of way. So this is a huge canal that cuts through a big natural area. It's our largest natural area, 13,000 acres. And it's the sort of thing you can easily drive past and have no clue that it's out there because there's so little of it exposed to roads. However, there are some canals that cut right through it. So the idea was, hey, we can create an alternative transportation mode connecting Jupiter Farms to like Palm Beach Country Estates and the gardens via Mirasol Trail and the town of Jupiter. There was some work that was done by the town of Jupiter with a development that went in just east of the Loxahatchee River. And the idea was, okay, we've got the framework here. These projects were all funded through the Transportation Enhancement and ARRA funds built. The last one was open to the public in 2016. So there's been nothing else from this network that's even been brought forward or proposed since that would have been 2012, I believe, in the whole TA programming aspect. Now the issue was with the that these projects were funded and scored. They were mostly done as exceptions to the engineering standards for a shared use path. That's always had the definition of 10 feet wide or 12 feet wide paved. Only one of the projects that we built is in fact paved. And that has proved to be the most used connection and regularly used connection because with the pavement, it of course can be used by people that are pushing strollers or on rollerblades or on skateboards in addition to people on bikes or just walking. What was apparent with the changes taking place since 2017 in the scoring was that you wouldn't be able to build anything that would add anything to this that would build on that off-road bike ped transportation system outside the urban area under the current scoring. So we attempted looking at this several times. I mean, in 2018, in 2019, the committee was formed. It was actually voted on twice in May of 2019, unanimously. BITPAC said, okay, we need to form an ad hoc committee. We ended up looking at some proposed revisions to the scoring sheet, having a workshop in August, and seeing whether or not the problem was basically we don't have the goals and policies anymore in the long-range transportation plan or the strategic plan to do this. Do we need to have a completely separate scoring sheet because there was a concern that if we go in and we start fiddling with things like landscaping and trees and shade and that sort of stuff, we will muck up what has been a very good, straightforward numeric point system for evaluating urban projects that are going to lead towards complete streets and deal with things like, you know, paving alleys in Lake Worth, where there's a lot of people dependent on bikes for regular transportation, or like the entire system that's been built in the village Royal Palm Beach. So we didn't want to see that happen. In looking at the scoring sheet, we felt that we were able to make some changes in the scoring sheet that would allow a project outside of the urban area to get at least 60 points. So it might fall sort of towards the bottom of the stack in projects that are normally funded, but it would at least be attractive enough that someone might apply for funds. Because as Jean repeatedly pointed out, because she does a lot of grant writing, you don't write for something when you know that there's no way you can score into the money. You don't come to the committee. And as Stephanie pointed out, we don't want to be rogue. We don't want to just be sitting here going, oh, this sounds like a cool project, let's fund it with no means of scoring. So we ended up proposing the changes that are shown in green on the screen in front of you. The first was in bicycle facility types. We put in there the 10-foot plus paved shared use path. This is 10-foot and 10-foot wide and paved is the current, it's like the green book standard. If you are a shared use path, which is a defined facility under FDOT, an 8-plus-foot unpaved path that would be off-road and unpaved, but I think we had the words in there accessible because the, let's see if I look at back at my notes from the scoring sheet, ADA compliant was what I have, unpaved ADA compliant 10 foot plus wide. So I think that's maybe just but
so
out.
If I can jump in very quickly, everything that is going to be scored on must be ADA compliant. We cannot fund facilities that are not. So
that's probably why we didn't need to say it.
If it's on our list, on our scoring sheet, it's ADA compliant.
Okay. So that accounts for things that might be hardened, but yet not have asphalt on them or concrete. Then in the pedestrian facility type, we added the 8-foot plus unpaved path off-road. And if you can scroll down on, thank you. On this, we added some language into the existing thing where it says project creates dedicated pedestrian facilities within 1 mile of a transit hub, trail hub, regional park, or designated natural area. And that's to allow for these connections, which we would certainly like to see happening to this core system, so that you would be able to come in with a project and say, I'm going to add on to this. Say you're a local government and you want to connect in, which I know a number of the local governments would like to do a little better job of that. Then under project created dedicated bicycle facilities within 3 miles, the same sort of language. And this just reflects changes we'd made earlier to divide between the 1 mile criteria if you're looking at a pedestrian facility and 3 miles if you're looking at something that would accommodate bikes just because of the ease. So those changes had already been made, the 1 and the 3 mile. We just added the language in the green. And then the project within 1 mile, you can see the addition on that one. Within 1 mile bicycle or shared use path project is within 3 miles and provides a connection to a shopping center or recreational center or park or trail facility. And I think that was, we felt that there was no need to go into the why section of that, but these changes we feel would allow a project to that's outside the urban area to accumulate that 60 points, which puts it in the range where an applicant can come in and argue, we've got this really great project, here's why this is something that should be that should be funded. And there's a little bit of back and forth about definitions and stuff, but basically the TPA does a really good job in preparing applicants. They have a workshop in October that's a generalized thing all about the program. Then they have individual meetings with applicants. They're certainly aware of the scoring. So once this appears on the scoring sheet, that alerts the local governments that there is a possibility to apply for a project that is outside that heavily urbanized area. And then they can get guidance in their response. Any applicant that wants the points is going to present in their application and say, here's what I'm trying to do and here's why, and give us details of the facility they're trying to connect to. So that's it. If there are any questions from the general committee for us, I'll try to answer those.
Well, thank you, Sally. I do have a couple other slides to continue going through, so we'll actually take questions at the end of this presentation. But thank you for walking us through the ad hoc committee proposed changes. So now we are going to go into the TPA supported changes to the TA scoring. So first, before we dive into the proposed or the supported changes, I do want to remind everyone that the purpose for the Transportation Alternative Program is to fund safe and connected infrastructure for non-motorized alternatives to transportation for everyday commute in the urbanized area. The scoring that we do have currently is based off TPA board adopted goals and objectives from our 2045 long range transportation plan. The scoring that we have is objective, and everything that we have is defined and mappable. So that way, you know, when we're doing our mapping tool and we're doing the scoring, we can say, okay, this is getting points because it's within X miles, 1 mile, 2 mile of this transit hub. So we do need everything to be mappable. And as a reminder, regardless of how something scores, BTPAC does have the ability to re-rank and recommend priority order of the TA-funded projects to the TPA board for consideration and approval. So just a reminder. So some of the, now I'm gonna go through the TPA supported changes. So we do support having the 10-foot plus paved shared use path as a bicycle facility, since shared use paths are both pedestrian and bicycle facilities. Having this as 5 points for both pedestrian and bicycle facility types would mean that the applicant, if proposing a shared use path, would be awarded, if it's 2 miles of a shared use path, 20 points, which is the maximum for this section. In regards to the 8-foot plus unpaved off-road path, we have continued to express reservations on scoring the unpaved paths as high as a paved shared use path, since unpaved paths do not offer the same level of service as a paved shared use path. Additionally, we are recommending we keep the 4-foot plus unpaved path as 2 points, and we keep that because that does include that 8-foot plus shared use path. So if someone has an 8-foot unpaved path, if someone's applying for a 4-foot unpaved path or an 8-foot unpaved path, they will still be awarded points, but it's not going to be as much as that shared use path because, again, you do not have that same level of ease. It's a lot smoother of a facility, and it is more accessible to more individuals of more abilities or of all abilities if it is a paved facility. In regards to the TPA's support for the WHERE section, We are proposing that, so in our scoring currently, the two line items, project creates dedicated pedestrian facilities within 1 mile of a transit hub, and projects create dedicated bicycle facilities within 3 miles of a transit hub. Those are two line items that are specific to connectivity to transit. So for that, we are proposing we just keep as is, but we take the proposed language and move that to the line item below. So it'll read, pedestrian project is within 1 mile, bicycle or shared use path project is within 3 miles, and provides a connection to a shopping center or a recreational center or regional park designated natural area or sun trail facility. The purpose with including sun trail facility rather than trail facilities is that sun trails are clearly identified facilities of regional and statewide significance. Those are the TPA supported changes. So before there is discussion, I do want to touch on the TPA, the next steps for this. So the TPA will provide BTPAC's recommendations to the board for consideration in October of 2021 when we are bringing the 2022 TA program scoring to them. The TPA will share and support funding programs geared to recreational facilities and rural areas with the BTPAC members so that you guys do have the ability to apply and get funding for alternative programs. And I do have a list that I can share with you. And then continuously, we commit to continuously updating the pedestrian and bicycle facilities on our interactive map, which is available at palmbeachtpa.org/map. And of course, we are working on our SunTrail implementation plan for grant project readiness. So we do commit to continue bringing all of these to you as next steps. And with that, I would like to bring on discussion, and then we will be motioning to recommend modifications. I'm sorry.
Do we have any public comments?
No, Madam Vice Chair. Let me just double check the attendees. No, we do not.
Okay. Do we have any raised hands from the committee?
I believe Jean has her hand raised. I don't see any virtual hands raised except, oh, Fadi has his hand raised as well. So Jean followed by Fadi.
Can we bring up the screenshot, the slide that shows what the committee recommended? And I wanted to tell you, you guys, we've spent so many hours trying to get this right. And I feel like what the committee worked on and just put their heart and soul into is what I'm going to support and recommend. It gives enough points that we can create these greenways. And, you know, one of the TPA's recommendations would have taken off the 5 points, you know, several places and put back the 2 points. Well, the 2 points gets you 4 points. It leans for not in this section. I would have the green the way it is. I would support this sheet. If you'll go down to the next sheet. You know, on this sheet, I understand about the transit related, and then you're putting it down in the pedestrian project down below, but you'd have to be within a school to get all within a close proximity to school to get all 5 points. But anyhow, the committee's really worked hard on this, really thought about it. We scored some hypothetical projects. I support what the committee did and not the TPA's recommendations.
I have Fadi followed by Brian.
Yes, I also support what the committee did. I think they did great work. And personally, I just don't understand this fixation with transit. People are moving toward trail, toward, you know, natural area, toward biking, maybe electric biking or electric scooters. They need more facilities. And just to strike this out and only focus on transit hub, I just don't understand that. Thank you.
Brian?
Yes. So I'm really interested in hearing the municipal perspective on these trail projects. So as you all saw, the committee did do a lot of work, and there was only one municipality represented, aside from Eric Ferguson, of course, who was the chair. I think that it's always a little bit of a balancing act with these types of things. You know, the committee came up with their scores, the TPA is coming up with a response to how they could go about effectively responding to them. The way I look at this scoring sheet is that this is the starting point for the TPA to evaluate projects as they are receiving them. It is not necessarily how we have to finally grade them. So if I am personally evaluating a project from a partner municipality or the county that deals with safety and comparing it to a project which will expand upon recreational facilities, my preference would be towards giving safety a higher ranking in the end. But with how we are grading the trails, and I think you need to look at both sheets and compare them, is, you know, are we expanding too much into Trail Hub Regional Park as the committee proposed, or are we going to follow the TPA's recommendation and strictly keep the facilities definition for bicycles and then shift the definitions down? I think it's really important to get all of the municipalities' perspectives, you know, and input on this. You know, we did work very hard, and I do want to have the TPA have something which they can, you know, use and move forward with. I know that there's always questions about data and how we're going to go about evaluating it, but if the staff is telling us they can't do it and the committee can't come up with a reasonable justification, and no, I don't think we should meet again on it. I think that we should come up with a decision today. I think that it would be nice to hear what the municipalities feel about it in relationship to this. I'd really love to come to a conclusion for the board to consider in October, as Alyssa said. And I want to thank all of the, you know, committee members and participants. I'm sorry Eric couldn't be here today to help close out this discussion, but I am really interested in hearing what others have to say.
Madam Vice Chair, I have Alyssa has comments followed by John, I'm sorry, Michael Howe, and then John.
So I do want to remind everyone that the reason that we do have transit hubs as its own and connection to them as their own line items is because our vision statement is for connected and multimodal environment. It is, and so for that, we do need to track a mode split targets. We do submit them to the federal government. That's part of our role as the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization for Palm Beach County. These mode split targets that we track and have to continue tracking throughout the year, every year, are walk, biking, and transit mode split. So we do need to keep track of how many people, how people are getting to transit, how many people are taking transit, if that's increasing or decreasing. And because of that, we do need to have that scorable as their own items without including, like, we need to be able to measure how many people are using that. So we do need to keep that on there.
So I have Michael Howe.
Thank you. I appreciate Brian's comments. I really do want to hear from the other representatives from the municipalities, because it appears when you look at the makeup of the committee, which, or this the ad hoc committee, it was heavily with county employees who maybe have a better feel for the history of the, you know, creation of all of these natural areas, the amount of money. And again, the money came from bonds that were voted for countywide, and they were, you know, received high 80s, 90% of the population that voted, and it was voted from municipalities as well as in the unincorporated area. So the public very much wanted to see these natural areas obtained and utilized, and that's part of the obligation that county staff has, is to try to increase utilization of these natural areas, which all of the population of Palm Beach County are paying for. The obviously, if it came down to one set or the other, I'm biased towards the committee's recommendations. But as Brian had indicated, you know, we would like to hear from the municipalities also. Alyssa, I want to thank you for putting up with us on the committee during all this process. And I do like the way this was presented, you know, with Sally giving the background and the history, and also you explaining the importance to the TPA. I'm not really making a recommendation, but I would like to encourage whoever makes the recommendation to maybe have this same type of presentation to the TPA board so they can basically evaluate what the subcommittee is recommending, and they're really the final arbiters and decision makers. And I'll just let it go at that. Thanks.
So I do have more hands raised, but again, Alyssa does have a comment.
So I do want to remind everyone that the purpose of transportation alternatives funding is for moving that needle and increasing other ways of moving people around, alternatives to transportation in the urbanized area. We are definitely saying, you know, those projects that were planned out, they're great projects, and we will help you find other ways to fund them if they do not score high enough with this. We're not saying we're not going to help you. We will help you, and we will provide whatever support is needed for alternative funding opportunities. But there are other ones that are available for those trails in the rural areas and the not urbanized areas. So I do want to remind everyone of that.
I have John followed by Jean and then Sally.
Thank you. First, thank you to everyone for all of your hard work in putting this together. You know, I think West Palm's unique like some of the other municipalities in that we do have natural areas in addition to urbanized areas. But I think I brought it up several months ago as we were scoring projects that I think there's instances where unpaved off-road facilities or greenway projects could be considered as much as a alternative mode of transit as much as it is a recreation element. You know, Florida's unique with canals and so forth, and West Palm has natural areas connecting, you know, or in between urbanized areas and so forth, that some of these off-road natural pathways, you know, rather they be paved or not, could be just as viable as a commute to work as they are of being utilized for just recreational purposes. So, you know, I think it was an important comment made early on when you don't want to put those types of facilities so low in the scoring system that you're completely discouraging them from being submitted at all. So, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards what the committee did. You know, I think they put a lot of effort towards this. You know, there are some off-road projects that I think West Palm would like to pursue, and some of them we don't want them to be paved facilities. You know, there's drawbacks to that as well from a environmental standpoint and things like that. So to have the opportunity to apply for these grants and compete against some of the other projects for those types of projects would be, you know, nice to be able to do. So again, I'm kind of leaning towards what the committee did. I think they put a lot of effort into it, and but I definitely appreciate the TPA's feedback as well. So.
Jean?
Sally was actually before me, but I'm going to go really briefly. The scoring sheet the committee came up with, you could score 60 points on an unpaved trail on a canal, say, leading out of Riverbend. On the TPA scoring sheet, on a similar trail, what would the score be?
We did not actually map that out. I can come back to you with that at a later time. But regardless of how it scores, again, you guys do have the ability to re-rank things and bring that order to the governing board.
Yes, we do. But we also would like it to show that we're not just randomly putting projects we like first. We'd like to have some backup in scoring.
So I have Sally, then Stephanie.
you have, if I can get a copy of the TPA's plan scoring sheet with their proposed changes, I can, two copies, one for Sally and I, we can score something real quick.
Sally?
Okay, thank you. Could you put up on there for us, please, the TPA vision statement as presented on your website, and then also pull up a tab for your Greenways and Trails plan? Because I think that part of the reason we didn't get into this whole issue of needing a change in goals and policies was that we felt that, as stated and presented to the public on your website, there is room for trails that would occur within Greenways. And also in the statement, in your vision statement, when it talks about multimodal, then I don't really recall seeing that urban part. So if you could put that up for the full committee to look at, I'd appreciate it.
So while we are working on that, I do want to note for the people in the room, we do have the vision and mission on over there on the walls, which is great. We do not include urbanized in our mission or vision because we do plan for the entire county. So we do not specify urbanized in that mission or vision. What was that first part? I'm sorry.
If you could go to the to your Greenways and Trails map, it's under the maps and resources,
yes,
which includes a statement about Greenways and Trails.
So we can pull that up. The thing with the Greenways and Trails plan, this is a plan from 2015. This is a static document. We have not updated anything. It is not accurate. In the regard that things have since been constructed, things have been awarded prioritized funding, and that has not been updated in that. The better place to look at that would be our interactive map where we have the shared use path and we have everything on it. We do
what
not.
What I would like to see is the statement. So if you go to the Greenways and Trails, it's not so much the map, and I understand that the TPA is a bit behind in the charge of keeping those maps up to date. But if you would go, what I'm interested in is looking at the statement, because this was really the reason, both in the May motion and the September motion, which actually established the committee formally with committee members, there was the inclusion of maybe we need to look at the goals and policies in the strategic plan because they don't support anything outside of the organized area, out of the urbanized area. And a good portion of that was the feeling that, okay, we don't need to do that because there are statements on your website that allow for that possibility. But quite frankly, if you can't score, and I think we were under 25 points when we scored a project on the old scoring sheet, no one's going to apply. It's a lot of effort to put together an application. And if you look at that, and I just point out that in the last 8 years, I don't think you've had a project that wasn't basically, you know, a sidewalk or a complete street project applied for. And I don't think that you would attract an applicant when there's no way they can score. And there's no way that as the BITPAC committee, we're going to just pull something out of the air. Someone needs to apply and get it in this room before we can look at it and say it's a great project. But all of the projects that IRM built, those were all ranked 1, 2, or 3 in the ranking of the projects for those years. And that was with no ability for anyone who was in any county department to vote. So those were voted on basically by the municipal representatives, and that was it. So I think that when you have a really good project, you're going to get support. If you don't have a really good project, these projects are going to come in kind of at the bottom of the scoring sheet, and they are not going to be moved up by the committee. But if they don't come before the committee at all, there's no opportunity to move them up. And I think that I'm definitely going to support what the committee has done and proposed. I think that it's adequately covers what might come in that would be a good project, and it doesn't mess up the scoring for any of the urban type projects that we want to continue to support.
Madam Vice Chair, I just wanted to know, I don't know if you saw Sally, but my staff did share the first request that you had, and they're working on the second request. They wanted to give you time to see the first request to pull up on the screen. And Jean, my staff is getting copies of your request as well.
So yes, I did want to point out that the mission and vision are both on the screen. So our mission, our agency mission, is to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system. Our vision is for a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system. And off of what you had stated, Sally, no, we have not necessarily had those trail facilities that have been off-road funded through our transportation alternatives program in the past few years, but we have had canal projects and projects that are not along the roadway funded through our local initiatives program. Part of the program requirements and eligibility for the transportation alternatives program is that it does require the applicant to own the right of way. So those canal projects are eligible under the local initiatives because that is not a requirement in that. So we have funded canal projects and projects that are not necessarily on road, but through our other funding opportunity.
If I could respond to that, the county does not own the right of way. We have a linear park permit from South Florida Water Management District where the trail uses their project, and that was deemed by FDOT to be an acceptable right-of-way, acceptable right-of-way in order to be funded, or FDOT would not have funded them.
Okay, I think we've heard both sides from the ad hoc committee as well as from staff. I think what's important is what Brian brought up and John as well, since I am from a municipality, and Sally, you know, Jupiter, we have partnered with ERM and the county on a substantial amount of land that was purchased through that bond fund. So I see both sides, and I can honestly say I can understand the ad hoc committee's position on scoring low on trails related to this grant funding program. My biggest concern about this is that as a planner, you know, we have to resolve the issues based on the goals, objectives, and policies that are set forth for us to follow. And without following those as a basis, then we need to address that basis. And I don't necessarily think changing a scoring sheet addresses the main concern. So I'm glad, Sally, you brought, and Jean, you brought up the goals, objectives, and policies, but I think the stronger position for us as an ad hoc committee or in support of trails, because our name as advisory committee includes trails. So understanding that, I think that I would be in more support of something that addresses the goals, objectives, and policies. But unfortunately, I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing transportation, urban areas, basically, you know, supporting those things based on federal funding that is related to a critical mass. And I completely get it that these suburban and more rural type greenway projects eventually get surrounded and become urban areas as cities evolve. And that's very natural for places and how we occur. And if we didn't have them, you know, Seattle's a really good example. I have family up there, and they had this trail system that was at one time not in their urban area, but because they did it such a long time ago, it became a major transportation hub that serves the city, and people can bike in and actually safely away from the traffic. So I understand the need for that. I just am concerned about the method in which we're doing this and changing the the criteria. So that's my two cents. And I really support trails. I just think that as we stand forward with our goals, policies, and objectives, we have to look at that, really.
Could you bring up, please, the greenways and trails? It's under resources on your website.
I can have my staff pull that up. I did want to note, Madam Vice Chair, I do have Brian with his hand raised, and then Jean put her tent card up as well. And my staff is working to pull that up. I'm sorry. Did you want to hear the committee comments while they pulled up that information?
Yes, if you don't mind.
So, Brian.
It sounds like there isn't an agreement on where we need to go quite yet. I think you're going to get like a mixed reaction to these types of things, no matter what you do. I am trying to figure out how we could appeal to both what the county is pushing for with respect to developing trails, which typically, might be not scored as high, while also being respectful of the TPA goals, objectives, and policies mentioned by Alyssa and Stephanie. And I don't want to wordsmith as a committee, but if I had to say that, if there was something I think that both parties might be amenable to, is that, we do appreciate trails and we do want them to be a part of our transportation system. I think the TPA's primary focus is ensuring that they should be within the urbanized area and contributing to that transportation system. So if I could put that forward as some language which could go forward into a future amendment to this, I think that it would help to define a little bit better the proximity of trails that we should be developing as a TPA advisory board. And that might help to include a little bit more of the county's efforts. So I'm willing to consider and continue including the provisions as we set forward. Maybe we consider it as trails which are located within the urbanized area to help meet the mission, objectives, and policies of the ad hoc committee and both what the TPA needs. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, Madam Vice Chair, I also missed that Fadi had his hand raised as well. So I have Jean and Fadi, and then my staff did pull up what Sally requested.
Okay, Jean.
Hi, I just did a brief score. Under the committee's findings, it would be possible to score 60 points, and under the TPA recommended 34 points as a grant writer. I am not going to submit a grant that scores 34 points because I know that I don't have a possibility of getting funded, so good projects will not come before this committee. The other thing is we Parks and Recreation, during this pandemic, our parks have been used more heavily than ever before. There's so much research on mental health, depression, suicide, heart disease. Getting out in nature is key to living a fulfilled life. Having pathways available that are on canal banks that you can take your toddler and put them in your bike seat is important. And, urbanized, everything urbanized is fine, but a large portion of our population lives in rural areas. I write a lot of FERDAP grants, Florida Recreation Development Assistance Program. You get 3 points for building a pool, 3 points for doing a user survey. I did a user survey at Glades Pioneer Park out in Belglade near Lake Okeechobee. And one of the things I found is they wanted trail markers because they walk there every day. And I said, but you live in such a remote area. Why do you choose this park? And they said, we choose this park because there are sugar cane trucks running along the highway. There aren't sidewalks. We need a place to get exercise, and we are really limited in what we do. And I mean, it wasn't a few. They're like, you don't understand. There's like 100 people out here every morning at dawn walking. So you might live in a rural area and you think, oh, fine, just walk along the shoulder. but then there's a ditch and then there's a car coming. And what are you going to do? Everybody needs places to recreate. And we just need to realize how important mental health is, especially in this time of COVID. And we just, our parks have doubled. I mean, it's just unbelievable the volume we're getting, and people just tell us how important our facilities are.
So, Madam Vice Chair, I'm sorry, my staff did make a correction to the item that Sally asked for, and it is now pulled up on the screen. It's the Greenways and Trails Plan website. And then, again, I do have Fadi with his hand raised as well.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, I know when we discussed the scoring, was it like a year ago, probably even more, there was a suggestion maybe to have a separate budget for trail and let trail project compete among each other, because really it's difficult to score trail on the sheet that we have. So I don't know if that may be a third option for us to consider. Thank you.
I don't see any, Jean, did you have more comments? I don't see any other hands raised. I'm not sure if Sally wants to make additional comments. Yes.
Alyssa, do you have a response for Fadi?
At this time, I do not have a response for Fadi, but that is something that we can talk and I could talk to our staff about and come back at a later time and let you guys know about it.
Okay.
Okay, I wanted to point out that okay, Fadi, we had discussed that. Actually, that was in both our May and our September motion of forming the ad hoc committee. And there'd been considerable discussion about a separate scoring sheet. We thought with the proposed changes, because you could get a 60 points. Typically, the projects that are funded are in the 70s, and right around the mid-70s. Point scoring on the sheet are the projects that get chosen. So the 60 points gets you into the discussion and presentation point where you can make your argument to BITPAC why you've got such a great project that it should be ranked high enough to get the funding. But it doesn't put you where you're going to be directly competing score-wise on this to bump out another project. So you're going to have a good project, I think, before the committee would be willing to re-rank it in their recommendation to the TPA governing board. The Greenways and Trails Plan, which they now have up here, this is partly the reason why we were thinking, okay, maybe we don't need to go into the goals and policies, was that it acknowledges on the TPA website that greenways and trails are a growing part of a multimodal transportation network across Florida and the US. This plan provides a desired vision for a greenways and trails system in Palm Beach County with consideration of the Southeast Florida regional context, which is from Indian River to Monroe County. The Southeast Florida Regional Greenways and Trails Plan is intended to serve as a conceptual guide for the TPA and others for prioritizing and advancing projects over time to help develop an integrated network of non-motorized connections throughout the region. It's not up to date. It hasn't been updated. So that's something that is supposed to happen, and there have been other priorities that have come in and prevented the TPA from updating this. But it was those statements that made us think, okay, maybe we don't need to go into the goals and policies. I'm perfectly happy to do that, and would perhaps rather do that, because after all, the timing is such that there's no way this is going to impact our 2021 projects. We're looking at 2022, and we have until October of 2021 to, or maybe September of 2021 to do something if we want to propose changes in the actual strategic plan. But otherwise, I'm going to support the ad hoc committee's recommendation. And thank you, Jean, for really quickly running through and trying to score a project, because as she says, it's the same thing for ERM. 34 points, we're not going to expend the effort to put in an application. I can't see Green Acres doing it, or Jupiter, or West Palm. It's not worth the effort when you know you're going to be so far out of the scoring. And thank you, Stephanie, for pointing out that yes, it is. I think Michael had made that comment earlier on. If you don't plan for it in the long range, your opportunity may not be there when you reach the point of development. You want to have that alternative way of getting around on an off-road trail. I don't know if at this point I can make a motion. Would you entertain that? Or
just if we could have a little bit more discussion. I mean, I think what I understand staff saying, and Mr. Uren, you want, if you can elaborate on this, but what I understand from staff is that their current goals, objectives, and policies that this criteria follows does not support trails as desired. And so, understanding that, I understand the track that you guys took on the ad hoc committee, because you saw on the website that this visioning statement or this statement on trails was still there. But if it's not, then I think that is the stronger position in which to address. But Mr. Uren, if you...
Good morning, members of the BT PAC. Just want to say a few quick points. First, thank you for your service. We are very, very glad to have people who are passionate about bicycle and pedestrian activity in Palm Beach County and want to serve and ensure that our allocation of limited resources is put to the projects that will do the most good for our shared constituent base. So we really appreciate your efforts and your passion in these matters. Second, I just want everyone to understand that Michael Howe's point earlier on is exactly where we will finish today. We understand that you are an advisory committee to the TPA governing board, and that we will fully present and give a designated representative from the ad hoc committee an opportunity to fully present whatever recommended scoring system the majority of this committee believes is the appropriate system that we ought to implement going forward. So we're not going to take away that opportunity from the BT PAC to present that recommendation to the TPA governing board to establish the policy. We're also making you aware of our ongoing reservations with regard to some of the recommendations of the committee as presented this morning. We love trails, but we also have an adopted long-range plan that is more, on the hierarchy, it is a higher mandate to us as staff than text on a website regarding a greenways plan that was presented as an information item to the TPA governing board. And so we're obligated, when we consider the allocation of limited resources, to place those dollars on projects that move the needle with respect to mode split, that move the needle with respect to safety. Those are core priorities for the TPA governing board. We want to see more people walking, biking, and riding transit. We want to eliminate traffic-related fatalities and serious injuries. Most of those safety issues occur in our urbanized areas, in our context, where traffic is mixing with pedestrian and bicycle activities. And if we allocate some of the transportation alternatives dollars to more remote areas, we have less money available to address the concerns that we're seeing in the urbanized conditions and move the needle towards more people walking, biking, and riding transit on a routine commuting basis. So we just want you to understand, we support what you're trying to accomplish. I think we have a lot of shared goals and desired outcomes,
but we are obligated to push for the allocation of dollars towards projects that move the needle according to the adopted performance measures and established targets for those measures that our TPA governing board has directed us to move in the direction of. A couple of factual statements I just want to finish with. First is the last time a more, I guess what you would consider a rural trail project was funded through the Transportation Alternatives Program, it was actually in 2011. You can see the full list of projects that have historically been funded through the TA program on the TA program website. In 2011, that project was ranked third, not first. I think in 2010, we had a project in a rural area that was ranked first, but we haven't had rural area projects ranked by the transportation, by the BTPAC for TA funding since 2011. 2012 and forward, prior to any shift towards these targets, we really haven't seen applications for these types of projects. So I just want to make sure that the committee is aware of that. Certainly the scoring system promotes outcomes and it ought to be consistent with our goals, objectives, and policies, which is what we're advocating for. But there was an absence of applications even following 2011. I had one other thought for you guys and I'm not sure what it was. So maybe I'll close with that. And again, I really appreciate your passion for pedestrian and bicycle activities. And we're committed to presenting the recommendation of the majority of the members of this committee to the TPA governing board. But we do want to make you aware of the reservations that we have regarding these scoring changes because of the adopted long range plan that we've been directed to implement.
Thank you.
I do have a list of comment or hands raised. I don't know if you have comments first, Madam Vice
Chair. No, go ahead.
Please. Okay, I have Jean followed by Brian and then Sally.
A couple comments. There are alternative funding available for this. You have land and water requires a 50% match. You have FERDAP maximum application 250% match. It's one-to-one match is what I'm trying to say. RTP, Recreational Trails Program, 20% match. Sun Trail funding is available for paved projects. So this is the game in town that doesn't require a match. So if you're trying to do a project, the other thing is, we're not saying don't do urban projects at all. The urban projects were going to score in the 80s and 90s. The urban projects are going to score really well. All we're saying is let us have a chance to get these projects to the table to review them. You know what? We're not going to, as a committee, we consistently have said, hey, let's put in sidewalks and bike lanes in Westgate where people, it's an underserved community. We scored that high. It got funding because we as a committee think it is a good project. All we're saying is, if you go with the recommendations of the TPA, we're now at 34 points. Nobody's even going to submit an application. So I think, and some of these urbanized projects have alternative funds also. And so I'm going to support the committee's recommendation.
I have Brian.
So this is a question for the ad hoc committee members and for TPA staff. Simply because I think it will deal a little bit with workload and if we're willing to give this a little bit more time. So I'm mulling over considering asking for a continuation of this item with respect to allowing the TPA staff to score against the current criteria for projects, the TPA proposed criteria, and the ad hoc committee criteria, to see where the 2021 applicants would fall. And I think that TPA staff should probably answer that first if they're willing to do that level of scoring. And then I think that the ad hoc committee should also chime in on that option as well. Because I, frankly, if we're not going to reach consensus on this, I don't see it changing at any point. I don't think that we should try to go one way or the other. I think there's a way that the county, the TPA, the municipalities can all agree on something. It just hasn't gotten there yet. And allowing us to continue the motion to another meeting with scoring ranked against real projects that have been submitted this year, or will be submitted, excuse me, would give us a better idea of if these changes would have an impact in achieving the goals. in relationship to other projects that have been submitted to?
Alyssa, do you have a response for that?
Yes. So we did do that exercise previously, just so everyone is aware of that. That is something that our staff can do, but we can't keep having the ad hoc meetings continuously. We really need to come to a conclusion and we really need to move forward with this. It's something that's taken up a lot of time, and I acknowledge that all the ad hoc committee members have put in a lot of time and effort. And like Nick said, we greatly appreciate all of your passion on this, but we have been meeting and talking about this since 2019. And I understand that the meetings, the actual ad hoc meetings started in 2020, but we do need to come to a conclusion on this.
And I'm not, to be clear, I'm not proposing any additional meetings. You would just run the analysis as on the projects as they were received. I cannot meet again. And I think our chairperson, Eric, also mentioned that he cannot continue meeting as well. So I think that's important to know.
Sally, did you have a response?
I was wondering if it's time to, if you would entertain a motion. Okay.
I'm not sure how I do this because I'm usually the vice chair. So who would I put the gavel to in order to make an amendment or because the motion as it is right now, I'm reluctant to support.
For clarification, are you asking that you want to make the motion or a motion? Or are you just asking regarding voting?
Well, I was originally thinking about the motion, but then I was thinking that I can't make the motion. So maybe we should let the motion come, someone to make the motion, and then we can have a discussion afterwards.
To clarify, I did have, because I see Jean has her hand raised. Sally was proposing a motion. So I don't know if you want to take her motion or if you want to allow Jean to interject first.
Let's make Sally, let Sally make a formal motion.
Okay. Sally, do you have a motion?
Yes, I move that we support the ad hoc committee recommendation for the changes to the 2022 TA scoring system, which will allow the consideration of projects outside the urbanized area, the urbanized areas of Palm Beach County.
Jean Matthews, I second that motion.
Okay, so
And I'm sorry, we are going to bring that up on the screen just to ensure that we did get the motion language as you requested. So if you can just bear with me.
So Sally made the motion and Jean seconded. And correct. Margie, you're going to bring up the actual
motion. Yes, we're going to pull up the motion so that everyone can see, but I will also read it aloud just okay. For clarification.
And then we can have some discussion.
Yes. So the motion as proposed by Sally, and Sally, if we did get this wrong, please correct us. A motion to support the ad hoc committee recommendation for the changes to the 2022 TA scoring system. Okay.
Okay. So can we have some discussion? I'd like to recommend an amendment to the motion that in support of the ad hoc committee, if the TPA considers an amendment to the goals, objectives, and policies that would include trails. That's my suggestion.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand enough to accept. What is it you're proposing?
So So the ad hoc committee is supporting a recommendation to the changes that, from what I understand, isn't consistent with the goals, objectives, and policies of the TPA today. And in order to support that, which I want to support that, it needs to be consistent with the goals, objectives, and policies. So what I'm saying is an amendment to support the changes if the TPA considers an amendment to their goals, objectives, and policies that would include trails. So really what I think the most important thing here is that if we have the basis to allow the criteria to change, the scoring criteria to change, then there should be no issue with moving forward. But from what I understand from staff, that's not the case. Now, it's priority versus hierarchy of those types of facilities. So I'm in support if the TPA, because this is going to the TPA, that if they want to consider amending the goals, objectives, and policies to include specific language on trails.
And just for clarification, for at least for my understanding, by TPA, you're saying the TPA board and not TPA staff, correct?
Right, the TPA okay. board.
I accept the idea behind your amendment. I'm not sure that the problem is with the goals, but with that there's not a specific, I think they're called strategies. In the, you'd have to pull up the document, but that's there's like measurable strategies for dealing with some of these other things, and that might be where it's missing the trails. But I'd want to look at the document, but certainly in terms of the concept, I agree with you. I suspect that the TPA governing board may not be fully aware that they've completely cut out from consideration any TA funding for projects that aren't in the urbanized areas of Palm Beach County.
I also think it's important that if that's the point, then it's important for the board, the TPA board, to understand that is an issue from this advisory committee.
And I agree with you. Right. So I would accept your amendment. My only concern would be that it's not the goals, but the strategies. And I'm just not sure off the top of my head without looking back at that, at the document. Because I think the long range transportation plan include something that would allow for trails, but that the
are you referring to the performance measures?
Performance measures. That so it may be that what's missing are performance measures, and I'm just not sure without off the top of my head without looking at that. So, but I definitely support the concept, Stephanie, yes, and would accept an amendment that effectively does that. I don't think that.
So, to clarify, Sally, just my staff interpreted your request, Stephanie, to be an amendment to the motion to support the ad hoc committee recommendation for the changes to the 2022 TA scoring system. And then your request, Stephanie, with a request that the TPA board direct staff to review the goals, objectives, and targets to include trails, if we understood your request properly.
I was more in line with that. So just help me understand how this is going forward. So this recommendation is going to go to the TPA board to modify the criteria. So if we're recommending to the board these changes, why cannot we not also recommend to the board from the basis of that they look at trails as being a contributing factor of the goals and objectives? So getting that policy direction from the board as to whether or not they agree with having these trails in here. And then once that is then there, then that is the part that then you have this criteria. So it's supporting it from the basis of here's the rule, and then here's how you implement. I don't know if that is helpful or not, but that's, I wasn't necessarily looking at, I mean, obviously staff's gonna review what the goals say based on federal guidelines of how everybody else administers their federal funding. But that's, if we're looking at that, I was looking at, you know, if the TPA board wants to include trails, then absolutely as part of their changing their rules, then we should be looking at changing our criteria.
So as a point of order for us, are you asking for an amendment to Sally's motion or not?
Yes.
And is the language that is on the screen and that I read aloud what you're looking to do?
No.
Okay, then I need you to be clear on what you're asking so that way the committee as a whole understands it.
With a request to the TPA board and then take out direct staff, because you're going to do what staff does anyways, with a just the two direct. Okay, there, just direct staff, remove. With a request that the TPA board review goals, objectives, and I guess the targets are the strategies or measures that you're talking about, Sally?
Yes, I think they're, Alyssa clarified for us, they're called strategies, but.
Okay, to include trails.
So to clear, and it is what's showing on the screen, correct?
Motion to support the ad hoc committee recommendation for the changes to the 2022 TA scoring system with a request that the TPA board review, just so take that one word out, review goals, objectives, and targets to include trails.
Is that your desired outcome?
Yes.
Okay, so to clarify, because we do have some people calling in and cannot see the screen, the motion that Sally had made was a motion to support the ad hoc committee recommendation for the changes to the 2022 TA scoring system with Stephanie's requested amendment, with a request that the TPA board review goals, objectives, and targets to include trails.
And I Sally, accepted the amendment.
Thank you. And then the seconder was Jean, if you accept the friendly amendment.
Yes, I second. And
okay, thank you. I have hands raised for additional discussion. I have Brian Ruscher.
Okay.
Thank you. It sounds like there is some consternation. I think Stephanie raises a really great point about the goals, objectives, and targets to include trails. I wonder if that board is going to kick that advice back down to us and ask for our advice and consider additional meetings, in which case that I don't know if TPA staff are going to come up with it or if the committee is going to be asked to identify goals, objectives, and targets to include trails, but it seems like we're still going to be continuing to discuss this item. And I've tried to put forward a number of different proposals, which would bring everybody closer to yes, and I ultimately feel like we can go back to a scoring system that was previously adopted and would support the committee to make the changes with the understanding and moving forward that we don't have goals, objectives, targets currently established. And that what I said before and what I've said to the committee, if there are safety projects and projects that will move the needle on what Nick referenced, I think those projects would take precedent. That being said, I welcome trail projects. As I've said before, they're like a great gateway drug into biking and walking on streets. But in terms of prioritizing and reducing the fatalities and increasing mode split, they might not be as high a priority for the city of Delray Beach in regards to scoring upcoming projects. So thank you for the motion. Thank you for getting us through this, Stephanie and Alyssa and Nick. I appreciate it. thank you to our colleagues at the county for pushing through such a, you know, awesome scoring committee effort. Really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing how all the projects fall this year.
Okay.
And I just want to double check that there's no other committee comments. I do have that Alyssa has a comment to make.
So I do want to clarify quickly with this amendment. Can we delete the term trail hub and trail facility from the recommendation, or are we keeping that as well?
Oh, that's a
the good motion question. Was to approve the ad hoc committee proposed modifications to the 2022 TA scoring system.
Yes, and based on previous conversation, we had determined that there was no actual definition for trail hub, and we had discussed taking that out offline as an ad hoc committee, so I didn't know where we stand now, if we want to include that or if we want to remove that.
The you could put back up the sheet that you had that shows the green underlying parts that were parts, and I think that we did discuss that while some of these terms are not included in the TPA's definition of things, they're generally used terms. They're actually recognized in the FDOT documents. If you go back again, what's on your website, and you look at the things that can be funded, they use the term trail hubs and trail facilities, and that somebody that is seeking points is going to, particularly after you've met with them and explained to them, you know, what the concept is here, that we're trying to create this off-road network, transportation network that people can use, that you're going to get adequate information from the application. It's the same as saying shopping center. We don't map every single shopping center, but if somebody wants points for connecting to a shopping center, they're going to come in and say, hey, I'm not talking about this guy who's selling candy bars out of his house.
So again, everything we have does have to be definable and mappable, and trail hub was not actually in there when we looked, nor was it in the Palm Beach County comprehensive plan. So that is the reason why we're coming back specifically asking if we want to keep that term or remove it.
The short answer would be yes.
To clarify, you're saying yes, keep as is. She asked two questions. I just want to make sure I record it properly.
Yes.
Keep as is.
Everything that is green underlined on the proposed scoring sheet would be the ad hoc committee's recommendation, and that is what the motion is to adopt.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
So just on that, since we're on that subject, so you're saying that a trail hub is similar to a shopping center, or
I'm sorry, I was trying to make the point that trail hub and trail facilities sound like loose terms, but when you look at the FDOT guidelines for what sorts of things are fundable under the TA funding system, they use some of those very terms. So it's not, it may not have a definition in the TPA's list of definitions, but neither is shopping center. But we all kind of know, I mean, a trail hub is where you have more than one trail meeting. That's what makes it a hub. Just like a transit hub is where you have more than one type of transit opportunity coming together. So I don't feel that it's necessary to remove that or to worry too much about it. When you get an applicant, it's just the point I was making is, although you can go on the TPA website and you can pull down a map that shows you that high crash areas. So if you're going for points on the scoring sheet to alleviate something in a high crash area, you can pull that right off the TPA website. but you can't pull off the TPA website a mapping of every single thing that's considered a shopping center. But when you get the application, if somebody's looking for points to connection to that, they're going to tell you, okay, we're calling this a shopping center. And you're going to look for something that at least looks like a little strip mall, as opposed to somebody doing a, you know, a storefront lemonade stand or something that's impermanent. And I think that same thing applies to some of these terms that seem loose.
Can we maybe just define that simply by saying multiple trail entrances or something instead of trail hub? Is that the concern? I just am trying to understand, because I thought that maybe trail hub was what you explained, Sally, but I think maybe if the concern is you have the entrance or the intersection of multiple trails, that's really what you're talking about, then it's just a matter of just making it more clear.
Yeah, that's the standard understanding of a trail hub as it's used by FDOT, as it's used in the trail using community. When you say trail hub to a trail user, they're expecting it to, you know, go more than one place. There might be an information kiosk. There might be signage that says, you know, this is this trail going in, you know, to your right, and it's this other trail going off to your, you know, the northwest. So I think that it may not be defined in the TPA, but that's not a reason to remove the language. And I don't care if you want to substitute in a definition for trail hub.
Okay.
Right here, it would make it longer.
Yeah, I think there's some extra room anyway. So,
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I do have Larry Wallace with his hand raised, and I believe Brian Ruscher as well. And then Alyssa did have a comment.
I did want to say that we do have the language that we need. We can go forward with that. I just wanted to clarify earlier. If we wanted to proceed with a vote, we could do that now.
Well, you said Larry has...
I have Larry Wallace with FDOT and then Brian Ruscher as well with their hands raised.
Okay, let's just finish our discussion and then we'll take a vote.
So Brian, if you want to go, I'm sorry, Larry, if you want to go first, followed by Brian.
Sure, I'll be brief. I just wanted to clarify about FDOT's language for Trail Hub, because I was trying to find it in the FDOT design manual or Florida design manual, and I cannot locate that language. I know Sally mentioned it's somewhere in FDOT, but I'm having a difficulty locating it. So we can do two things. One, if maybe Stephanie or maybe Alyssa knows where that language is, refer that, or I can go back to the office and ask one of our transit or trail experts if they have that language. Thank you.
What I'm talking about is not a specific definition, but if you go to the guidelines where it gives all the examples of this is what TA funding is for. So there's like an FDOT, I guess you could call it a cheat sheet, and it has, it just has this language, and it says these are the types of projects that are funded, and it goes for TA projects, these are the type of projects that are funded. And it goes on, and then I believe it uses the term trail hub, and it also says trail facilities without specifically. It may give some examples of like benches, water fountains, but then there's like an et cetera right in that. So these are the guidelines that you look at if you're an applicant and you're thinking, hey, maybe I want to do a TA funded project. What my point is that not all of those terms are strictly defined, and FDOT seems to be okay with that. So I think you recognize it when you see it in an application.
So Brian.
I think you're going to be hard pressed to find FHWA or FDOT language that says a trail hub is this. It's, from what I understand in working with my office, a previous employer, the Office of Green Mason Trails, they generally don't define trail hub. I think that they refer to it as a place where there are multiple intersections of trails of regional significance. So if we could simplify the language by saying sun trail intersections or something along the lines of that to make it more clear. But if we're going to go with that language, and if it, I think the TPA should be comfortable enough to score something moving forward. And I think that's why they propose sun trail in their language.
I don't have a problem with putting in that it's multiple trails, but we have so little in the way of sun trail. We're talking about the 2022 application cycle. I can think of a proposal for something that would be a sun trail, and I really appreciate during our ad hoc committee meetings the commitment from staff to help support get the update of the Greenways and Trails map and potential for a sun trail project. But I don't think it's necessary or advisable to include that. Although I certainly would accept the recommendation if you want to, instead of saying trail hub, trail intersection or multiple trail intersection. Instead of trail hub.
Okay. So, well, that would be part of my amendment to include multiple trail intersections, or if you can wordsmith that, Alyssa, and make sure we get to what we're both agreeing to. That's my amendment. Does the motion, the maker of the motion, accept that?
I'm going to adjust the language on the screen. Where would you like that to be stated?
With trails? An amendment to the criteria?
Or just put and an amendment?
Probably if it came right after it said motion to support the ad hoc committee recommendation with the amendment. Okay. Under whatever number that is, then that would be clearest. And then it can continue to the scoring system.
To replace trail hub with the recommendation to the changes. Right, so right before with a change.
With a change or an amendment?
With a replacement of trail hub. To multiple trail intersection or, okay. And then we need to do a comma and, because we have basically a run on, and with a request to the, okay. All right, are we ready for a motion? Does the maker accept the amendment?
I can read it aloud, Jean. As a reminder, your microphone does need to be on. So the motion that I have on the floor, and I will need Sally and Jean to let me know if they accept it, is motion to support the ad hoc committee recommendation for the changes to the 2022 TA scoring system with the replacement of trail hub to multiple trail intersection, and with a request that the TPA board reviews the goals, objectives, and targets to include trails. Sally, do you accept?
Yes, I do.
And Jean?
Yes, very good.
Madam Vice Chair, are you ready for a vote?
Let's do it.
Okay, so this will be a roll call vote. As a reminder, you will need to unmute your microphones. And I did lose some members during the discussion, so I will mark them as absent if they're no longer here. Sally Channon?
Aye.
Eric Ferguson is absent. Ted Goodenough?
Accept.
Michael Howe?
Aye.
Jean Matthews?
Aye.
Yash Nagal?
No.
Fadi Nassar?
Aye.
Michael Owens?
Aye.
Kathleen Hatcher? And Kathleen, because you did rejoin, you may need to hit *6 on your phone again. And while she's adjusting her settings, John Roach did have to leave the meeting, so he will be marked as absent. Brian?
No, Richard. I'm here. Okay, thank you. My call dropped, and I got right back on.
Okay.
So my vote is aye.
Thank you so much. Brian Ruscher?
Aye.
Joanne Scaria?
Aye.
Stephanie Thoburn?
Aye.
So it passes, Madam Chair, with one opposed.
One clarification. Did Frito Harding?
Thank you so much. Olga Puerto, they are absent from this meeting.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, so the next item, we still have things to do, is the Vision Zero Action Plan status update, and Andrew is going to present this item.
Hello again. I know we're running late. If you guys don't mind, I don't have to go through the presentation. I can just brief you on these items, and you guys could read them on your own leisure, and if you have any questions, you can reach out to us. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Well, I got thumbs up here in the room. So this is a Vision Zero Action Plan update. It goes through, we passed an action plan a few years ago with the adoption of a Vision Zero policy, zero fatalities and serious injuries. So in the backup, you'll find the status of those actions. And we want to let you know that we are updating this plan this year. So we're just starting that now with that work order. And so we're going to be adopting or bringing in more actions, refining the ones we have in there. And so you'll see that later on this year. That's really all I have for you on that one.
Great. Do we have any comments from the public or from the committee?
I have no public comments received on this. I don't see any hands raised or any tent cards up.
So I guess we can move on then, right? Okay. Correct. So the next item is the performance measures dashboard. And Jason.
I'll also cover this one, okay. Andrew, again. So Jason was the one who presented the tip earlier, and he worked on this dashboard as well. We're excited about this. So this is actually what you guys have been talking about, performance measures. We talked a little bit about today with safety as well. So we have a dashboard that we just went live with through a company called My Sidewalk. And if you go to palmbeachtpa.org/PM, you'll see all the measures in a scorecard. And then you can click on those individually, and it'll bring you to the My Sidewalk website, and all the measures are on there, and we go in more detail about each measure, how it's going over time, and what we're doing to further that target, right? So you can find more details. There's maps on some of the measures, other detailed information and tables. So we really encourage you guys to look at that and see if it's a good resource for you all. And then if you have any suggestions about making better, we'd love to have it. We really want to start pushing this as our way of providing up-to-date performance measures for all of them, our goals, objectives, and targets. So that's going to be the way we present them in the future. And that's really all I have on that one.
Okay. Do we have any public comment?
No, Madam Chair.
Anybody from the board?
I don't see any hands raised or tent cards up.
Oh, I see Sally.
Oh, sorry, Sally.
So who will be representing the BITPAC from the committee when our proposal comes in front of the TPA governing board?
Is this in reference to the last action item 2C?
Yes.
Okay.
Whoever BITPAC, the ad hoc committee designates. It's not up to us, it's up to you guys.
Okay, so work amongst yourselves and figure out. Sounds like you, Sally.
Okay, thank you.
All right, the next item is about Florida Bicycle Month, Alyssa.
Sure, it's up on the screen now, awesome. So I have some exciting news. March is Florida Bicycle Month, and we will be celebrating this year. There we go. So in the past, we have had quite a few municipalities do Bicycle Month proclamations, and we want to encourage the same municipalities and more to do more proclamations. In the past, we ourselves have had one. Palm Beach County has had one, Boca Raton, Boynton Beach, Delray Beach, Green Acres, Palm Beach Gardens, Wellington, West Palm, Jupiter, Palm Springs, and Royal Palm Beach. If you're on here, great. We want to see you on this list again. If you're not on here, we want you to be on here. So we want you to have a proclamation. And we have sample proclamations available on our website. If you are having a hard time finding one, please don't hesitate to reach out to me and I can send you over one. We are also encouraging everyone to have and encourage and host Bicycle Month events. In the past, we've seen bike trail rodeos, we've seen super fun days, bike to work day rides, group rides. The great thing, we understand it's challenging in this new world with COVID, but the great thing is it is outside, you can ride with a mask on, you can social distance. If you are going to or thinking about hosting any sort of Bicycle Month events, please reach out to me, let me know so we can advertise for it. Also, go on our walkbikepalmbeach.org website, and on the calendar on there, you can put your Bicycle Month event, or Bicycle, yes, event on there, and that is for all the public to see. And again, we do want to encourage people to participate in these events. So of course, this is our website, walkbikepalmbeach.org. This is our calendar. It is a screenshot from a couple years ago. So please do not look at the dates on there, but we wanna see the calendar as full as that, if not actually more full. So we do wanna, like I said, and keep saying, encourage everyone to host and participate Bike Month events. And then of course, the TPA will be hosting a group ride on Friday, March 26th. 2021. We will be meeting at TPA office at 7:45 in the morning, and we will be leaving at approximately 8. We have mapped out a route that's just over 4 miles, but it's a great ride. It's very smooth and fun, and it takes you through some really great neighborhoods. This ride should put us back at our office at approximately 8:45. If you do plan on attending us, well, please do. It would be great to have a lot of members join us. But if you plan on attending, RSVP to me, however you would like, whatever mode, phone call, email, and we will put a t-shirt aside for you so we can all be riding in our bright yellow Palm Beach TPA bicycle-friendly shirts with the 3 feet on the back, and we can be bright and safe. And again, if you need any additional information on this, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. We would love to have more people join us. And of course, if there are any questions, again, please do not hesitate to reach out, but that is all I have on this item.
Do we have any public comments?
No public comments, Madam Vice Chair, but I do, Sally, do you have comments on this one?
Just on the, for the bike events, are we going to be able to put them directly on the calendar, or we should just let you know if we have something?
So both. I put them directly on the calendar. I love when people reach out to me to tell me about them, so that way I can spread them through word of mouth. Also tell our staff, you know, if you live near here, you can go and encourage people. But put it directly on our website as well. I do keep an eye on that. And if you go onto that website, there's a calendar link, and there's a link right under the calendar saying add bicycle event onto the calendar. So super easy.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other committee member comments?
I don't see any other hands raised.
Okay, so the next item is, last is the administrative items. Summary points of the governing board. No staff presentation. Yeah.
No, Madam Vice Chair, for all of the administrative items, we do provide them in your backup, and staff can make a presentation if the members so request. Otherwise, it's available for members to review at their leisure.
Okay. So then the next meeting is March 4th. If we don't have any additional information needed for those backup items.
And then, Madam Vice Chair, just for the record, there are no public comments on any of the administrative items.
Okay, perfect. March 4th is the next meeting. And we have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Brian.
Michael Lovins.
Thank you. Thanks for your patience, everyone.